Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James Show. And you know, ever since we started talking again in June, I've had such a debt of gratitude for the White House. They do all my show prep for me. I don't have to do any research. I just have to scan headlines. Oh yeah, next hour we'll get to John Kerry. This little thing called the internet makes it much harder to govern, he says in an exact quote. Why does that not surprise anybody? But when we were talking about who we would like to talk to, I asked a lot of you, all right, who do you want me to have on? And I'll tell you, number one with a bullet, and it did not surprise me, and even if you didn't want him on, you were going to have him, because I did, but did not surprise me at all that the most requested guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. So, Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Raleigh. Good to be with you again.
Yes, so much has happened in the past 2 years. I'm not joking when I say the government does my show prep for me, but probably nothing as startling as the topic of your latest book, What Went Wrong, the inside story of the GOP debacle of 2012 and how it can be avoided next time. The election for some people was an absolute stunner. Frankly, I got to tell you, Jerry, I wasn't the least bit surprised because I don't think that anybody voted for Obama. I think a lot of people voted against Romney. In your research, did that come up?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the main points I make in the book, What Went Wrong, is that when the Republicans nominate these establishment Republican candidates like Romney or McCain, right, they're basically Me Too Democrats. And the base of the Republican Party, which is conservative, cannot get excited about them. You say Obamacare, Romneycare, what difference does it make? And instead of going after Obama, which, Romney had a great chance to do, he did it in the first debate, and then Romney's advisors said, oh, well, we don't want to blow our lead, we don't want to risk anything, so they put Romney back on these themes of agreeing with Obama, which is an absolute loser. And it happens every time the Republicans go a Karl Rove direction and try to out-Democrat the Democrats.
It's stunning as far as that goes. I was stunned, though, that he was the candidate. And you're right, it is an establishment pick. But particularly, apart from all his other baggage, and he has a lot of it for voters, but the Romney care, that alone, when one of your biggest issues by far was the distaste that Americans, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, had for Obamacare, to pick the only guy in America who'd pulled it off in a state, you almost have to work to do this. And this is where my conspiratorial hat comes out. And I say to myself, on some level, are they trying to throw these elections?
Well, the point I make in What Went Wrong, and I demonstrate it very accurately, is that the Republican consultants, Karl Rove, Karl Rove had $400 million from top Republican donors, and he did not elect a single candidate. And again, Karl Rove was back in the lead of, on Fox, advising the Republicans. The donors are lining up. They're going to go for another, resisting the Tea Party, resisting anybody in the conservative camp. I mean, our greatest enemy in opposing Obama is not necessarily the Democrats, but it's the Republicans who are afraid to be called racist. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats have used these techniques that largely the KGB invented in the 60s for advancing, you know, liberal radical causes, and they're very effective techniques, especially when Obama had $1 billion and some of the best computers, the best political scientists, the demographers you could find. I mean, you know, just to get it really simple, you know, the dynamics here, Raleigh, is that when you've got 96 or 97% of African Americans on identity politics voting for Obama, and you don't dare call that a racist vote, do you think any of the African Americans voting for Obama really cared where he was born or if he was a legitimate candidate or that he had done nothing for African Americans in the first 4 years?
Oh, of course not.
African American unemployment is double digit. We've got Detroit, which is something like, you know, 81% African American in bankruptcy, rampant drugs, unemployment among broken families, teenage pregnancies, drugs, no businesses, vacant lots, diminishing tax base, all the products of a welfare state, and Obama does nothing to help Detroit except to campaign on it. He was happy to campaign, you know, he bailed out GM, and that was going to save Detroit from bankruptcy. Obama campaigned on that theme, but now when it comes time to actually do something for Detroit, Obama typically does nothing for the constituencies that vote for him.
Right, and they don't care because they're going for the loudest voice. They may be low information voters, or they might not. But the bottom line is they're saying, "I'm going for the black man." In the case of that, and there are other
or
groups,
the Hispanics
or whatever,
or the all the groups that Obama picked, the single women with children. I mean, Obama very creatively reconstituted the New Deal coalition of Roosevelt in modern terms and had interest group politics in which he promised each of these groups he was going to, you know, deliver big, which means basically Obamacare and an Obamaphone, to, you know, groups that thought that the federal handout was their future.
Well, and what's interesting about this is that many of the things he promised in 2008, for 4 years, people found out was an utter lie. One of the biggest isn't actually an issue of color. It's that I'm going to get you out of the Middle East, basically. This was, as you know, in 2008, the huge promise. And, of course, he's done quite the contrary. Whatever it is he promised has not been delivered, yet the voter is still sitting there in an emotional state saying, I'm answering to the loudest voice. Now, with that in mind, I got
right.
There's another issue here, and I'm with you 100% that Romney, to me, was an awful candidate for every reason and then some. I'm also with you that many of the issues the Tea Parties bring up are the issues that go right to the heart of Americans. And one of the things that's very credible is their desire to get the government out of their life, basically. Now, that said, while they're stomping for freedom from government control that I think we all want, more free market sources, at the same time, they have this real dichotomy when they say, well, we want to make sure that marriage is between a man and a woman. And my issue to that, by the way, is the government shouldn't be in the marriage business, period. It should be in the personal partnership business, much like there are business partnerships, personal partnerships, and then you can worship or sanctify or believe as you want. But when there's dollars involved in this, why do that? I know more people who were just personally, you know, that knee-jerk reaction, just like the groups you're talking about, so turned off by this that they couldn't see anything else.
Well, the whole thing with Romney, and Romney is a good human being. I mean, I traveled for 3 weeks with the Romney campaign.
I wouldn't go there, but okay.
And he was a good moral guy but, you know, you're against, in a campaign, against of Chicago thug ward politicians. They think like ward politicians, and they know how to go into a ward in Chicago and money in their hands and buy votes, convince people that the Democratic candidates are going to deliver them, you know, the political benefits they want, continued government aid. Let me use a good theme. This maybe exemplifies how the Democrats run politics at a ward level. I mean, Trayvon Martin, Obama knows, and Eric Holder knows, there's no way that George Zimmerman could ever be prosecuted under federal civil rights statute.
Of course not.
The FBI investigated Zimmerman. He's not a racist.
Right.
You know, he may have lots of faults, but he's not a racist. And yet, Obama has gone out, continue to go out. The left is continuing to go out to demonize George.
Sure.
Because it gets the base out. It gets the base excited.
Of course it does.
The base, you know, hates then Republicans, hates white guys, gets the racial issue. And I've been saying this since I wrote The Abomination, that Obama is a divider. You know, the Saul Alinsky techniques, the racial conflict, the social and economic class conflicts, these Obama rubs raw to get people angry against, you know, white businessmen and
whatever other... Well, divide and conquer, right, of course.
Right, and yet Obama, in getting these votes of people, you know, intensified on class and racial conflicts, Obama delivers nothing to these groups once he's in power. He lives like all socialists do, you know, million-dollar vacations, lives like a king, like the socialist ruling class does in every country where there is socialism, and the people descend into poverty, into middle-class erodes, in country after country, as people buy this leftist rhetoric of social justice.
No doubt about this. In fact, what Obama does is he proves that it works, unfortunately. He proves that the Alinsky methods work like a charm, especially in a real-world situation where virtually everything he promised he didn't deliver, and here he is reelected. But again, that's my frustration, because when I see guys, I believe it was Missouri, the guy who said, you know, in a legitimate rape or whatever, you know... Come on. This is somebody who, you know, you kind of pray that he's paid by the Democrats, because you can't believe that a breathing person is that stupid to do that on the campaign trail.
Every time the Romney would come back, or any of the consultants to the back of the airplane where the press was traveling, and I was there, the New York Times and the Washington Post, and all these other kids, leftist-trained kids, would ask Romney questions about Todd Akin and rape, because they knew it was a wedge issue. And the reporters were playing the gotcha game to get Romney or his people to say something embarrassing. They weren't interested in covering issues. They weren't interested in really any of the fundamental economic or other issues we have to deal with as a society. They wanted to whip up the rape stupidity of Todd Akin's and make that the issue to brand against Romney. And Romney had no defense against this technique. No defense, because Romney was afraid to be called a racist. He didn't want to call out Obama. I mean, somebody had to finally say to Sandra Fluke, you know, who whipped up the issue on women, that, you know, women, Republicans don't care about the sexual freedom issues, the reproductive rights of women. Somebody ought to, a conservative, Ronald Reagan, could have said, "Wait a minute, Sandra Fluke, you mean this issue is about you're making $100,000 a year and you want me to pay in federal funds for your 18-cent condoms? Is that what this issue is about?"
No
Republican could do that.
No Republican will do that. And what I'm seeing in all these elections is that the Republicans don't get human nature. Again, answering to the loudest voice. It doesn't have to make sense. It's an emotional relationship. And Obama has been a master at that. And he's a textbook example because, again, he doesn't deliver what he promises and it does not matter. Yet I see and, you know, by the way, we had Bettina Viviano. You did a great interview with her. And just great. One of the things that came out, which is, you know, just breathtaking if you've never thought about before, is that the liberals will do whatever they want to do with a firm belief that they know better than you how you should live your life. Therefore, they are empowered and they are right to pull off anything. They've given themselves a license to pull off the most amazing stuff, where Republicans kind of slink to the back of the bus, so to speak, and run from it. And The Democrats know this. And again, the reason why I bring up the marriage thing, for instance, is that this is an issue that the Republicans could so well solve by suggesting, for instance, personal partnerships and that religion should be private. You know, that would stun a Democrat because they got nowhere they can go with that.
But see, but the point of my book, What Went Wrong, is that the Democrats have some of the best advice.
Yes.
Political scientists from leftist universities, demographers, communications experts, computer experts. The Democrats are slicing and dicing the electorate on these class and racial conflicts. Obama got 4 million less votes in 2012 than he did in 2008. That should have been enough to defeat him. But 8 million white voters stayed home because Romney was a Me Too Democrat. And the white voters who stayed home were not the evangelicals. They came out and voted.
Yeah, I know they, but that's my point. They would. But
it was the core conservatives,
right.
The Tea Party groups, the people who said Obamacare, Romney care, who cares?
Right.
Our base couldn't get excited.
That's right.
But the Democratic base was all whipped up by these techniques. And in communication with the, through computers, through the technology of the 21st century, with the Obama campaign in a way that completely blindsided the Republicans.
And you know, that's the, and you point that out in your book, and it's must reading, and I should stop here and say, as I do so often, the thing about your books that put them above everybody else who writes is your annotations, your sourcing, all the things that are the true argument settlers, because when you bring up a point, and it doesn't matter if it's this or a birth certificate or what have you, you have the goods in the back of the book. So for
right,
that,
they're all documented.
Yeah.
All documented,
yeah.
All footnoted, right. All documented. You can see, if you take a look at what I'm writing about, you can see the exact sources I'm drawing from. And what the Republicans have got to do is quit arguing that the election was stolen from them. Yes, there was voter fraud, and we've got to deal with voter fraud. But the Republican Party's got to realize that Obama cleaned their clock.
Yes, and you know, what I don't understand is why they were surprised. I mean, I know I read some of the articles and heard some of the talking heads, but to me, here you have Obama who has connected with his base, and here you have Romney who has not. In fact, he's not only not connected with his base, yes, you're right, the evangelicals, they're down for him, but virtually everybody else, I don't think they were bored, I think they were appalled. And
yes.
Many of them would stay home because they'd say, well, hell, I'm not going to vote for Obama. Some of them would say, I'll vote for a third party. But the bottom line is, not only was there no connection, it's almost as if the Democrats decided who their opponent was. So,
well, that's true. And, you know, the Democrats played Romney like a fiddle.
Yes.
I mean, they knew every way to block. Romney came out with a comment on Benghazi. Now, Romney had that should have been a major issue. But immediately, the mainstream media and the Democrats jumped on Romney and said, well, you're out front. You don't have enough evidence to make the accusations you're making. And that stuck. The Romney people did not know how to come back at the press and say, you guys are all biased, and make the press an issue and show the bias of the press. Make that an issue. You can't win an election if you don't fight. And by the third debate, Romney was agreeing with everything Obama said.
Yeah, it was a joke. It's like he died and they automated him. You mentioned Benghazi, and you're absolutely right to focus on this in terms of what's really going on. It might be the biggest thing the administration has ever faced. But the reality is the voting public, again, the quote-unquote low-info voters, though not all of them are, but Benghazi is not an emotional touchstone for most people. Yes, if at the time he could have said, look, there are 400 missiles that are going to be aiming at our planes, and if you think TSA has done something yet, wait till you see what's happening. But we weren't yet there. And turning Benghazi into a personal issue, the American voter was not going there. They don't get that.
Well, even to take the issues of the economics, Romney did not have advisors who could say to the voters, are you going to sell yourself short for food stamps and an Obama phone? Is your highest level of achievement in the social welfare state being created for you by the left going to be that you have a broken family, that you're a teenage mother with a child, you have nowhere to go, you can't make a living because you can't get child care and work, and you're trapped in the cycle of poverty for which the Democrats are going to pay you very little.
I think one of the greatest motivators, unfortunately, and it's to society's detriment, but it's true, is fear. People who are afraid are very easily controlled. And what the Obama administration and the Democrat Party did very well was acted on fear. They made people afraid about what might happen to them if Romney got in.
Well, in fact, you take a look at the Obama people were so sophisticated with the computers and the models and the analysis that they had the election down to, we need 50,000 more voters in Ohio. They knew they could get them from the African Americans, largely in Cuyahoga County around Cleveland. And Biden coming out and saying, you know, well, the Republicans are going to put you all back in chains, mm-hmm. which is a patently, obviously ridiculous statement, yet communicated to the African American community such that voters were in Cuyahoga County, you know, standing in long lines, waiting to vote because they were afraid
of
what Romney was going to do on civil rights.
That's right.
Which was pathetic. But yet, whipping up the emotions, whipping up that racial antagonism and fear, you're right, was a technique that Obama saw Alinsky, was happy to use because he knew it would motivate African Americans to come out and vote in huge numbers, and they did.
That's right.
Same with Hispanics. If Romney is going to be elected, he's going to self-deport all of the Hispanics.
Right.
Remember that issue came up, I pointed it out in the debates. Democrats seized on it. They made sure that issue went across. Obama did a hugely, he flopped in a Univision interview where the Univision people were saying, you know, you've done nothing
exactly.
in 4 years.
Yeah.
To deliver on comprehensive immigration reform. Well, the Obama people then, by administrative fiat, put the DREAM Act into effect. They stopped deporting any illegal immigrants. They communicated to the Hispanic community that if the Republicans win, the borders are going to be sealed. And again, the fear and the class conflict, the racial conflicts, that the Obama people preyed on motivated 77% of the Hispanic voters to vote Democratic.
Right. And it was brilliant, is what it really comes down to. You know, you might say it's despicable or it's wrong.
They knew what they were doing.
That's
they
right.
They knew which buttons to push.
Well, exactly.
Great advice, and they were utilizing every technique in the book, including the psychological techniques. They framed Romney to start. They ran commercials, even lying commercials, you know, Bain Capital, he's going to destroy your company, he's a vulture capitalist, he's going to make money, you're going to lose your health insurance, he doesn't care that you're on the street as long as he makes money, and those commercials were run, and Obama got away with them because Romney didn't counter them immediately to say, that's a lie, let me explain to you Bain Capital, and he had no counter-argument. So every time you saw Romney, you saw the perfectly combed hair, the button-down shirts, the pleated pants, the preppy look. And he said, this is a white guy who has all the money in the world. I can't relate to him. He can't relate to me. That was framing. That was a psychological idea the Democrats intentionally created with a set of techniques that were extremely effective, especially when the Obama people got away with it. Romney didn't know it was being done to him, and his advisors weren't sufficiently equipped with understanding the psychological techniques to know how to counter them.
Well, this is the part that, again, is astounding to me. I don't blame the Democrats for what they did because they will win at any cost. Fine. The Republicans have the right to say we'll win at any cost as well. The thing they do not have on their side, and we know this, is the press. And that is certainly more than a wild card in terms of how it will turn out. But at the same time, you know, again, you don't pick Romney, but, you know, in the unfortunate event that you do, rather than have him backpedaling and explaining Bain How about coming out and saying, hey, you are worse off today, especially if you're a minority, and here is exactly what Obamacare is going to do to you job-wise. And, you know, they could have gone to these issues, but as I say, the only time I heard them going to the personal issues, I cringed when it was, you know, sanctification of marriage. It's like, wait a minute, you want the government out of everything else, but you want them here. It's almost as if the Democrats automated them and delivered what they needed. And
well, see, there's a way to handle the social issues, which is not even going to a totally libertarian model. You can handle the social issues by explaining to people that the route the Democrats are going down, here's the consequences of it. Look at breaking up of families. Look at the teenage pregnancies, the out-of-wedlock births. Look at the economic consequences of these decisions in broken families that people make, which are like the two or three, you know, clear signs that if you do this, you're going to suffer economically the rest of your life. Have a child when you're a teenager. Have a child when there's no family, there's no husband, there's no two breadwinners. Have a child.
Absolutely, you can show that. But I think what you can also show is you can show, hey, what I'm planning will not penalize you. You see, that's what people are afraid of. It's not so much they're afraid they won't get the benefits. They're afraid that, well, if he gets in, then I'm not going to get equal Social Security if I'm not married, or I'm not going to get this or that. So there again, that's a fear factor. And
it is. But again, you've got to point out to people that, look, these marginal, you know, sexual communities are 1 or 2% of the population, and you can say, look, I'm really not going to be going after homosexuals. That's not my goal here. I'm not prejudiced against people with different lifestyles. Let's work that out at the state level. But the point is to go at themes which argue fundamentally that this government dependence, this government welfare, this path down, you know, the any sexual thing goes, even personal issues, you're not going to be able to avoid them. You're going to have to encounter them because the Democrats are not going to allow you to say.
You're absolutely right. But what I'm getting at, just economically, forget morally, is to be able to promise, look, if you're getting money taken out from you from Social Security, my plan is that you can give the other half to whomever you choose. You know, because a lot of people are saying, hey, I'm forced to pay into this system and I don't get equal benefits. And that would be a number of people for a number of reasons. So why not attack it economically and say,
and attack other issues like the earned income, tax credit.
Do it all.
People are getting money back and not making any money, not paying any income tax at
all. All of that. All
these issues. And again, Romney did not go after any of the issues that could have made a strong conservative campaign based on, you know, economic values that are conservative.
Yeah.
Romney articulated the themes of free enterprise and supply-side economics, but he did it in an abstract way.
Right.
He didn't go after to say, okay, what has Obama done for the African-American community?
Right.
There's plenty of African-American leaders right now who are trying to get Democrats to understand that, you know, knee-jerk voting Democratic is a sure way to go into permanent subclass status.
Right, right. You know, you're absolutely right. What he didn't do, he did this academically. He never personalized it.
And he constantly let Obama get away
with everything,
without challenging Obama at every step to say, wait a minute, that's nice rhetoric, but what's underneath this rhetoric is a government dependency, which is fundamentally a lie.
Right, right.
Explain why that's a lie.
Exactly. What went wrong? The inside story of the GOP debacle of 2012 and how it can be avoided next time. Jerome R. Corsi, Ph.D., and it's always a pleasure to have Jerry on again. Written numerous books, plenty of New York Times bestsellers. They might be begrudging that, but you bought them, and rightfully so. The Obamination, Unfit for Command, many others. The research and the annotation is unbelievable, and this is no exception. So we'll pick it up right there on The Raleigh James Show.
No more misery.
Yeah, well, we're in for three more years of misery, and we'll be back to Jerry Corsi in a moment. But if you're listening to this show one way or another, you're listening online. Do you have a Wi-Fi radio yet? Oh, you should. Yeah, that and smartphones, two best ways to hear The Raleigh James Show. If you have a smartphone, by the way, of course, you can get the app for Android right at RaleighStream.net. We're working on the app for iPhones. Oh, it works fine, but getting it into the Apple Store is another issue. We'll have that soon. But in the meantime, if you're at home and you don't have a Wi-Fi radio, oh, man, are you missing out. You got to check out the CC Wi-Fi from the Sea Crane Company, which is just a terrific radio. In fact, it's just like a quote-unquote regular radio. It's got buttons, knobs, clocks, alarms, timers, all that neat stuff. It's also got a remote control with 99 presets. Oh, and I guarantee you, you'll fill them up without trying hard, because when you're listening to Wi-Fi radio, you're listening to all the internet streams online just as if they were local radio stations. You can choose by genre or location, and you've got over 16,000 from which to choose at any time. So you want to hear shows like this one? Go to the talk genre. Just scroll through. You'll find stuff you want to hear. You want to hear obscure R&B oldies? You want to hear classic country? Whatever it is, it's online, and when you put it on the convenience of a radio, something you can put on your nightstand, use the pillow speaker under your pillow, it just comes alive. Now, there's many Wi-Fi radios from which to choose, but the CC Wi-Fi that Bob Crane helped develop is my favorite. It's just a terrific radio. All you have to have is a broadband internet connection and some wireless access point, which you probably do in your house anyway, and the radio does the rest. You can find out more at ccrane.com. Go to Raleigh.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net, and you will easily be able to click right through to the Sea Crane Company or go directly at ccrane.com. Either way, one of the neatest things about Bob Crane is, in addition to really great products, he has the kind of customer service that's a throwback to pre-computer days. That's for sure. Operators are not standing by. When you call the Sea Crane Company during the day, they answer the phone in their office in Fortuna, California, and they help you. The kind of customer service you won't find from any other vendor. And boy, that is worth it. The CC Wi-Fi will set you back $99.95, but if you mention the coupon code James, you get 5% off your entire order. Or if you're doing it online, just insert the coupon code James in your shopping cart for online orders and you get it that way. You want to give him a call? Here's the phone number. 888-444-7993. That's 888-444-7993. They'll be back tomorrow morning and they'd love to talk to you. They'll give you a free catalog too. That's ccrane.com, the Wi-Fi radio from the Sea Crane Company. And yeah, you tell them Raleigh sent you.
The Raleigh James Show. And for this, you're staying up late.
And for that, I am grateful. I'm talking to Dr. Jerome Corsi, and that is always my pleasure. What went wrong? The inside story of the GOP debacle of 2012 and how it can be avoided next time. You got to read the book. And, you know, Jerry, I think the bottom line to this is the Democrats are adept at personalizing, at delivering a message directly to somebody, regardless of what is in that message. They think they have right on their side. They can say it any way that will play. And they do this to such a degree that even if you hate everything about them, you respect it. Now, why is it that the Republicans can't figure this out?
Well, see, a fundamental point I'm making what went wrong, looking at presidential elections. Remember, I'm a political scientist by training. I've studied elections, you know, PhD from Harvard in political science. I've studied voting behavior and presidential elections going back decades. The candidates that win fight. They encounter and confront their opponent, and without any hesitation or fear. I mean, there were so many issues Romney could have picked on, not just, but, you know, again, he was compromised. He was a establishment Republican politician, and going back to the 40s, I point out, like Thomas Dewey and Wendell Willkie, these establishment Republican politicians always lose. But Romney, or a real effective Republican candidate, even a Ron Paul, you know, could have said to Obama, who are you anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not just the birth certificate issue, but, you know, why can't we have your grades? Why do we have to know nothing about you? Why don't you tell us more about Frank Marshall Davis? Why do your policies reflect socialism? Or how is it that we get so many administrative edicts here? These are unconstitutional. You know, rather than reelect you, I think we ought to impeach you. And why didn't Romney run a campaign on the 16 things that Obama did that should have been impeachable offenses? And yeah. Press these issues in the debates and press these issues in all of his campaign appearances, not just, you know, try to, you know, his advisors, the Stuart Stevens of the world, thought, well, if they just give a positive message, it will beat the get-out-the-vote ground game of the Democrats. And I said, I don't think so.
No, that's, you know, even on the surface, and you say you're trained in political science, but even someone with, you know, a couple psychology courses knows that that's utter insanity. And when you have, you know he's dividing and conquering, you know he's playing the race card, you have on your side everything that proves that African Americans in America are in a much worse position to than 4 years ago, and you're not spewing forth a word of this.
Not a word. And, you know, here the Democrats come along with a great computer system, and all the micro-analysis of this massive database created by the same computer geeks and geniuses that created Facebook and Google, yeah. Even some of the same, you know, Silicon Valley people, putting $1 billion into Obama's campaign. And Obama's down there saying, you know, when you get an email from the Obama campaign, you feel like they know you. And
right. The
workers out in the field get iPads, they get pushed. Right. Here's 50 people to go see. Go find me 50 more just like them. A very effective knowing the voter and how to communicate and motivate the voter. If Obama needed to steal 50,000 votes in Ohio or Florida, he knew where he could steal them. I mean, the techniques of this campaign, I point out, and what went wrong, were a game changer. The Republicans are going to have to get equally sophisticated in learning how to use 21st century technology applied to get out the vote and then run a campaign with a real candidate. I mean, instead, the Republican establishment at the convention abused the Ron Paul delegates. They
yes.
wouldn't seat them.
Right. Now, you see, that's now we're back to what I'm saying. Ron Paul resonated with people.
Yes.
He really did. And he was not afraid to say the things that were on his mind. But more to the point, he was hitting it hard personally where people lived and saying, you know, this is how it should be. And they're saying, yes, it is. And instead of saying, hey, there's something to this, that's like, get out of the room. That's insanity.
Well, and the Republican establishment was right there with the Democrats in demonizing the Tea Party candidates.
Yes.
You know, the Todd Akins and
Sharon
Angles. Now, these candidates, look, the Democrats, Obama made horrendous mistakes and gaffes in the campaign, as did Biden. And instead of jumping on those, instead of, you know, magnifying them as the Democrats would do, the Republicans did not come around and support the Todd Akins and the Sharon Angles. They didn't embrace the Tea Party because the Republican establishment is ashamed of the Tea Party. Because it's not sufficiently big government, me too, globalism. And if the Republican Party continues to be the party of John McCain and Lindsey Graham, Tea Party activists, the conservative base of the Republican Party, is going to say, we don't need the Republican Party. Because they're conservatives first and Republicans second.
Are you there? Hello? We just lost Jerry. I'm not sure how. punctuated that point. Well, many of you have said, hey, can I call in? And I just realized that we have the phones, for whatever reason, forwarded to an answering machine. I'll change that as I call back Jerry. But this is a manual effort. And so give me a minute to do that. And also give me a minute to redial Jerry. And we'll pick it up there with your calls. So sorry about that.
Is a blessing in disguise. Oh,
rightly so, yes, through the miracle of telephony. But it was great timing, Jerry, because you had just punctuated that point when you went. I mean, that was actually magnificent. I thought, man, so there. Yes, all of these things. And, you know, we could strategically take them apart. But the bottom line is that among the Ron Paul supporters alone are a lot of computer geeks. You know, when you start looking at tech people who supported Ron, high up on the list,
these are
you know, these are people the Republicans could have made, you know, a part of their camp if they welcomed Ron.
And I point out in what went wrong, when you look at the margins of the swing states, and Romney lost every one of them except for North Carolina. But you take Ohio, more people voted for Ron Paul in the primary in Ohio than, you know, that Obama won by.
Right.
So if Romney had only motivated the Ron Paul voters, if he'd only motivated the Tea Party, and he would have won.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And what's interesting to me is this is bigger than Romney with the Republicans, because when Ron was trying to get back in the House after having run on the Libertarian ticket for president back in 96, when he said, okay, I'm going back in the House, the Republicans actually paid a Democrat to turn Republican to run against him in the primary so he'd lose. Now, they weren't successful, but this is the degree to which they are afraid of this guy. Now, I never thought to ask you this, and of course, it's slightly off topic, but on the other hand, not at all. Why are they afraid of Ron Paul?
Because the Republican establishment is fundamentally in agreement with the Democrats on big government and internationalist principles. The differences between a Romney and an Obama are frighteningly few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really wanted to parse why Romney thought Romney care was better than Obamacare, you would lose 99% of the audience in technicalities that nobody cared about, because for the average person,
they are no
they're
different.
Both socialized medicine.
And they both are. Now you're at the heart of the issue, which is bigger than what really went wrong in the campaign. This is the fact that what we have are Republicrats and Demopublicans.
Well, and the Democrats have moved farther to the left. This Democratic Party today is the party of Bill Ayers. It's not the party of Jack Kennedy or Hubert Humphrey. It's not
true
classic liberalism. This is radical left. And the Republicans are still centrist and basically left centralist, not, you know, marginally right central. But you've got to go to even today, take a look at Marco Rubio. He's destroyed his career by pandering with Chuck Schumer on the Gang of Eight amnesty bill, which is going through the Senate, now going to go through the House. It's going to take a Ron Paul or a Ted Cruz to stand up and say, this is amnesty. Now, you won't get a Paul Ryan to support that, because the majority of the Republican establishment agrees and thinks they have to be more pandering to the Hispanics than the Democrats, and that's a losing strategy.
Completely.
Whereas a Ron Paul or a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz would say, you guys can all have the DREAM Act, but, you know, when you get through college the way the Democrats are doing it, you're all going to be driving cabs. There's no jobs for any of you in a Democratic economy. And do you really want to bring all the Hispanics here, all your families, and no jobs, and you're just going to have to be on the government dole? Hispanics don't want that. Hispanics have values that are more truly conservative Republican than the Republican Party establishment.
Yes.
And, you know, when the Republican Party attacks its conservative base and promotes these, look, I wrote an article today. You've got Lindsey Graham and John McCain in Egypt trying to free a Muslim Brotherhood incarcerated leader. Why? Because his son says that the son has evidence that will put Obama in prison. And if the father's not released, they're going to make that information public. So you get Lindsey Graham and John McCain into Egypt to do the bidding for Barack Obama.
Yeah, and McCain, by the way, as you know, I don't know what the problem is, but he went over the edge. He's off the cliff now, you know.
I almost think that the Republican Party suffers from a Stockholm syndrome.
Well, yes.
You know, they want to surrender to the Democrats before they engage in a fight with them, and they turn against the conservatives who could elect true you know, conservative Republicans if they were allowed to have a free voice in the Republican Party. And pretty soon, you know, it's going to either be at a state level where, you know, the Tea Party and the Ron Pauls gain and the Republican Party establishment is cut loose, or there's no need for the Republican Party. The Republican Party is going to doom itself to a series of, you know, 2008 and 2012 losses. And Hillary Clinton, if she can keep, remember, it wasn't just Barack Obama. It was Axelrod and Meissner. It was these you know, political gurus, far leftists, with all the money, all the techniques, all the computers, all the political science and demographics, who knew how to slice and dice the electorate and whip up the base, and the establishment Republicans are out in the middle of the ocean with in a rowboat without a paddle.
Right. Right. No, you're
turning against their own base.
Eloquently turning against their own base. And that is something, of course, that the Democrats are very good.
Yeah,
you know,
the future of the Republican Party has got to be the Rand Pauls or the Ted Cruz, or the Republican Party is going nowhere. That's a major theme in my book, What Went Wrong.
And you're absolutely right. I got plenty more questions, but I don't want to hog you. Will you talk to some people who are calling?
Sure.
All right. Carl in New York. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Raleigh. And hi, Jerry. I'll say hi again, Jerry, because
sure.
We met up in Albany about a year and a half ago. You were talking to a group that I belonged to at the time, and I got up there early just hoping I would bang into you at the bar, and sure enough, I did.
That's likely. Go ahead. What did we talk about? What's your question?
But back when Obama released that PDF file, fraudulent birth certificate, Donald Trump stood up and, you know, took bows everywhere that he could, you know, claiming it was him who had caused him to release it. But, you know, you and I and Raleigh certainly know that what it was 10 days later, your book, Where's the Birth Certificate, was due to be
precisely
released.
And
that's
correct.
What scared Obama.
Yes.
So, to my mind, at very best, Donald Trump is nothing but an opportunist, and at worst, a shill for Obama. And my question to you is, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump certainly dropped out the minute Obama produced a bogus computer document, and that was damaging to the whole, you know, pressing of the issue. So I have always suspected that Donald Trump, you know, plays for Donald Trump and was more of a detriment than a benefit. But the point I will make is that at least when Donald Trump was on the birth certificate issue, he was gaining on the polls. Once he dropped the issue, he dropped like a rock. And what the Romney people or the Republican Party should have learned was that attacking these fundamental issues of who Obama is gains with an electorate who really is fundamentally dissatisfied with Obama. You know, Obama's half the country is opposed to Obama to start with. And if the Republicans going into a election with a major economic downturn still going forward and half, you know, 40-some million people now, 47, 48 million people on food stamps, if the Republicans had fought a conservative election, if Ron Paul had been the candidate, or, you know, a Ted Cruz or now a Rand Paul, I think these are the future of the Republican Party, because these true conservatives, you know, or libertarians like Rand Paul will at least pursue the issues.
You know, Jerry, there's something interesting on the birth certificate thing, going back to they don't personalize it. Everybody in America can relate if you're to say, hey, you can't get your kid into driver's ed or Little League without showing a birth certificate. Because, you know, I don't think there's probably a parent alive who hasn't been inconvenienced at some point finding that cert before the kid could do this or that.
It's the same issue now with the voter ID laws.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, now the Supreme Court has decided that some of this, you know, these voter right issues don't need to be pursued by the Department of Justice anymore. I think a variety of states are going to come forward and going to say, we're going to have our own voting rules here in this state, and they're going to require voter IDs. Now, with Obama and the birth certificate, the issue should have been, you know, why is it that we still can't see the original documents?
Right.
And how about also all these other documents?
Right.
Any Republican that had pursued those issues, told the press, I don't care what names you call me, these are legitimate questions, would have gotten a huge outpouring of support from the American people and would have turned the tide. Obama could have been beaten by 20 points in the election if he had a Republican candidate who would have stood up and contested Obama on fundamental issues of who he was, whether he was pursuing socialist policies, and whether he had actually accomplished any good for anybody.
Now, listening to Bettina, of course, you have the added possibility. Do you think it is a case, Jerry, that everybody is threatened?
Yes, well, I mean, this whole issue, remember, going back to the KGB's whole ideas in the 60s of how you create a socialist America was for the Democrats to adopt the communist platform as progressivism,
right,
and to accuse anybody who doesn't go along with it of being a racist. And very few people, you know, certainly not a McCain, certainly not a, you know, McCain wouldn't even let Bill Cunningham, the radio talk show host in Ohio, say that Obama, in 2008, say Obama's middle name was Hussein.
Right.
Yep.
Well, why not?
Exactly.
Why doesn't somebody press Obama's
to, well, and why,
you know, as a Christian, he certainly does celebrate Ramadan very hard. And as a, you know, our Middle Eastern policies have been totally tilted towards the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, and when you get into the Middle East again, in the first election, the first go-round, he was so hard promising that he would get us out of the Middle East. And you look at where we are now, and what happened to all the people who were protesting back in 2008 to get us out, and the whole Bush administration get us out of the Middle East?
Well,
what happened to those people?
And Benghazi could have been made an issue that people would have cared about. It said our ambassador and four Americans were killed. Why is it we could, I mean, this lame excuse we couldn't send the aircraft because we didn't have any place to land them. I know fighter pilots
who
would have taken off from that air base in Italy. So I got enough fuel to get there. You tell me where to land or I'll ditch this plane in the Mediterranean. You can come get me.
Exactly right. No.
Well, let me just interject two things here. One is you think more highly, Jerry, of Donald Trump than I do. Because if you recall, when Obama came out with that fraudulent birth certificate, Trump immediately leaped up and said, okay, I caused him to release it. You know, I'm convinced now he is an American. Trump can't be that stupid.
It looked like a setup. It did look like a setup. I wrote that at the time.
Yeah.
If you go back and take a look at what I was writing at the time, I was pointing out that Donald Trump, you know, immediately signing off on the issue was a plus for Obama and looked like a setup.
Right.
Yep. Well, and the second thing before I go is we got to get Mike Zullo on Raleigh's show.
Oh.
I'm sure she'll do that.
Yeah. Well, you can help me find him, Jerry. But
it'll be up to Mike if he wants to. But we certainly, you know, Mike, I believe will do it. And it's just his choice.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Carl.
Just let him know who Raleigh is. And good night, both of you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. There are so many unanswered questions that are so frightening because, you know, when people say to me, well, what's it really matter about the birth certificate? And you were one of the first people to do the research. A lot of people claimed things, but, Jerry, you went out and you found it. Every bit of it. And the bottom line is not only does it invalidate everything that this man has put into law, granted there might be some celebrations on that, but in general it's a bureaucratic nightmare. But the other thing is that if we think he's bad now, when we start to think about if he is easily blackmailed because of the secrets that he has in the White House, that is stunning in terms of how dangerous that is.
Well, and also, Raleigh, I pointed out that, you know, the fact we don't know really who this guy is. We still do not know. I mean, any number of issues. Columbia, you know, the services that report on attendance said he only did 1 year at Columbia. I'm doubt if he even attended the 1 year from professors who don't remember who he was at Columbia. At any rate, the point is that, you know, the pressing Obama on issues of his past, of his policies, of the results in the first term, which were terrible, and as Romney tried to do in the first debate or started to, that has to be pressed for a whole campaign. You're going to have a Republican Party that has the courage of a Ronald Reagan and the sophistication of an Obama's technical people. And I think you're going to have new generation of candidates. The only ones I can see in the Republican Party who have any chance of turning the tide are candidates like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. These are people who have the courage to stand up and to really press an issue. Even Daryl Issa, who has made some very, very good issues, stops short. Doesn't press as hard as needs to be pressed. We've now got demonstrations that the IRS is using information to go after, for political purposes, to, target Tea Party. Well, this should be a reason to shut down the IRS, and the only politician really pressing those issues are Rand Paul and Ted Cruz.
No, you're 100% right. And, of course, the specter of Obamacare, which is under the IRS, and we realize, and I want to have you back on to talk more about Obamacare.
How about the NSA?
Absolutely. But when I read, for instance, that community activists will have access to all the data in Obamacare under the IRS, I say, what American isn't out in the street rioting? And, yeah, I do want to have you on to talk about that. But looking at the elections, it's not 3 years from now that we need to worry. It's next year. Everybody in the House, as usual, is up for reelection. And we lose the House next year. Stick a fork in it.
The issues, when we write about it at WND, they get the strongest response remain to be issues that, why isn't Obama being impeached?
Or
the story I wrote tonight is, taking off, which is that the claim by the Muslim Brotherhood essentially extorting the Obama administration, saying they have information that could put Obama in prison and they're going to release it. Well, these are the kinds of issues that the American people, if any Republican candidate had dared go into these issues, would have, as I say, won by 20 points. Because the American people were angry in 2012.
Yes.
But yet if you're going to be Romney care, and if you're going to be saying, I agree with what Obama said in the third debate, people say, who needs this? And the 8 million voters who stayed home were the, the Tea Party members, the Ron Paul supporters who felt completely dissed by the Republican Party when the Ron Paul delegates wouldn't be seated. It's completely embarrassing to be at the convention when, Ron Paul was having to fight for the legitimate position his delegates had won. Because the Republican establishment was more against Ron Paul and the Tea Party than were the Democrats.
Yes, you're 100% right about that. So as I say, next year we've got a very pivotal election. You've written about all the tactics and what went wrong. What's going to happen next year? Are the Republicans going to smarten up enough to keep these seats and maybe gain some?
Well, I think it's going to have to be fought again at the state and local level. The reason I wrote What Went Wrong is to give candidates who are going to win a knowledge of how they're going to have to fight the Democrats. And they're going to fight the Democrats not by relying on Karl Rove, but by looking to the strong, I think, forward-thinking leadership of the Republican Party, which is willing to aggressively get back to conservative principles and to follow the lead of, the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruz's, and to try to get some steel into Daryl Issa so that the investigations Congress is pursuing can get some teeth in it. Why don't we seek to remove Eric Holder from office?
Right. Fast and furious alone, but the list is endless.
And these issues are there, but they need the courage of a Republican leader to pick them up and champion them, and the people will follow.
Oh, I sure hope they will get that courage because, like I say, next year they lose the House. It's all over. And I hope that on some level the Republicans in the power positions are smart enough to recognize and hopefully read what went wrong, the inside story of the GOP.
The Democrats are so close to winning it all, I think that there's a great opportunity for them now to start losing because the pendulum is going to swing back.
Let's hope.
Not going to swing back with the John McCain's and the Lindsey Graham's and the Mitt Romney's of the Republican Party.
No, it is not. And hopefully the debacle of Obamacare will be the undoing. And I know you certainly have investigated that deeply. So will you join me again soon to talk about it?
Oh, certainly.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Thank you for writing this. And as usual, thank you for the hours and hours and hours of research to notate every and source every claim you make. Well done.
Thanks, Raleigh. I really appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All righty. So, Dr. Jerome Corsi, what went wrong, the inside story of the GOP debacle of 2012, and how it can be avoided next time? Yeah, and Bettina Viviano's words do echo in my ears as I think about that. The Democrats believe that they have right on their side because they know better than we how to live our lives. The Republicans act as if they're slinking away from their own positions, and they actively demean individuals like Ron Paul, who did have the goods to win, I believe. So, great to talk to Jerry, and for the next hour we will talk to you. 610-640-6400 on the Raleigh James Show. It's actually frustrating to talk to Jerry because I could go on for hours and hours and hours. So many things that he brings up that are worthy of consideration, and quickly, too, with elections next year. So we'll have him on again soon. And 610-640-6400, before we get back to it, wanted to mention gold, and probably rightfully so, because we talk about, we didn't actually get much into the economy, but when we talk about what's going on with the government, it makes a lot of sense to be very afraid when you've got a currency that is a fiat currency backed by nothing but the government's promise that it's worth something. Yeah, increasingly we doubt that. So increasingly we look to things like precious metals, because if all goes to Hades in a handbasket, you still have value with gold and silver and precious metals. The problem is that if you don't understand how these metals are sold and you don't understand what you're buying, you can wind up with not a lot of gold for your money, comparatively, when it comes down to it. The good news is, even if you buy the worst stuff, gold will have value. But at a time like this, it's important to get as much as you can for the dollars that you're expending. My secret weapon in this is Melody at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, DGScoins.com. She is the real deal. She knows her stuff, and she has the integrity to tell you the truth. And frankly, I've only been buying gold in the last decade because I avoided it because I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know who I could trust. Once I met Melody, I understood fairly quickly what the gold markets were and the truth as opposed to what some people are selling you. And boy, I am sold on having something that will always have value. But more to that point, I'm dealing with somebody who I know is giving me a great deal. On a fair deal, no one beats her commission rates. She is terrific. She does everything by hand, the old-fashioned way. Yeah, no computer records to subpoena and anything else. So, of course, she follows the law. But in terms of having big databases, that's not the way she works. She values your privacy. Gold, all gold. It's either going to be bullion or it's going to be numismatic. You're either buying it for the melt weight or you're buying it because there's a collectible component of it. There's reasons to do both, but it behooves you to know what they are and how they're priced and why and what's going on now. She's not a psychic. She won't tell you where gold's going tomorrow. No one knows. But with her experience base, she has a real good idea about how things are trading. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is DGScoins.com, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. 4188. Not saying put every dime you've got in a precious metal, but at this point in time, if all your money is in paper or in stocks or in things that ultimately may not be worth the paper they're printed on, you might consider adding something real to your portfolio. Gold, silver, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, DGScoins.com, 800-375-4188, and you tell her that Raleigh sent you.